So tonight we're going to do some shilas that came up over the course of Sukkot, because we're just coming off of Sukkot's vacation. So those are the shilas that came up. Now, the aftermath of Simchas Torah always has a lot of interesting shilas. We're not going to get into those. Meaning, you always, unfortunately, every year have a shilas about fasting in the aftermath of a fallen Sefer Torah, because there's always a shul somewhere with the rowdiness of the dancing, someone trips, someone gives it to a child, someone does something stupid with the Torah, and ends up having those questions. Not getting into that right now. You often have shailas about, was I yotzei davening, considering that I had kiddush, and how much kiddush I had in advance of musaf, or the shliach tzibur was facing the wrong way because people were picking him up and turning him upside down, or whatever, you know, or something like that, and are yotzei tefila. I do not know what... what the basis of that is, meaning when Simchas Torah became Purim. Even on Purim, there's what to discuss. You know, during Tefillah, it probably should not have that kind of impact, although understandably, when you have a Chiyuv Inishul V'Sume, obviously it will have a spillover effect into Tefillah sometimes. But on Simchas Torah, Pashut, I have no idea where that comes from. I feel like but people don't know how to separate being Labedik from being just totally out of control. So that's stam an issue. We're not discussing that. Here are the two shailas that came up that we will discuss, at least one of them, maybe both of them. We'll see what time permits. I got a call on a WhatsApp on Erev Yantif from one of my rabbeim, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, Mori Virabi. He runs the Hakafos and he's the Rosh Yeshiva in DRS, so he runs the whole show over there. And his son, Binyamin, was in from Eretz Yisrael, and Binyamin lives in Eretz Yisrael. And he wanted to honor Binyamin with Chasan Torah, on Simchas Torah. I was later told that it was Binyamin. Rabbi Kamenetsky just said, can we honor an Israeli who's visiting in America with Chasan Torah? With Chasan Torah. I assume that's who he meant, that he didn't mean someone else, and then just change his mind at the end and give it to Binyamin. So he wanted to honor an Israeli with Chasan Torah. So the shaila was, for the Israeli, it's not Yantif, so is he allowed to honor him with Chasan Torah? A similar shaila came up in my shul. There's a fellow by the name of Yedidya Meir, whose, I guess, wife is more famous than he is in America, but he's also a pretty big star in Israel. Sivan Rachav Meir and her husband Yedidya, so they've been davening in my shul. They live around the corner from me for this year. And he came to the shul on Simchas Torah, even though it wasn't Yantif for him, you know, because he came to enjoy. And his son, who's an outstanding Ben Torah, his son came in during the laning he came from one of the other laning stations to the one that I was at, asking if they're allowed to take an aliyah. Can they and should they take an aliyah, considering that it's not Simchas Torah for them? So that's really all the same shaila, kind of the same shaila. They're a little bit different, but kind of. Then the second shaila, really a first one that came up a few days earlier, I was in the DMV with one of my children, getting his permit or whatever, so we were waiting online. That's the point, there's nothing to do with DMV. And I got a phone call from a Talmud of mine, who is, I would say, about 21 years old. He is not married. He's living in his parents' home, and he's been sleeping in the sukkah because it was sukkah, so he's sleeping in the sukkah. And he called me up and he said that his mother told him that when he sleeps in the sukkah, she does not sleep at all. And he said, why not? How does my sleeping in the sukkah affect you at all? And she said, well, a couple of things. First of all, every night I lock the doors of our house. When you're out in the sukkah, I'm afraid to lock you out. I don't want to lock you out. And so I can't lock the doors properly. Second of all, I'm terrified. What's going to happen to you? That, who knows what kind of bad people are out there that will just come into the sukkah and do things to you, or animals or whatever, you know, wild beasts will come and attack you. I don't know what's going to be. I'm terrified. So I will not sleep as long as you are in the sukkah. So he wanted to know, does he have to sleep in the sukkah? So I asked a couple of follow-up questions. I said, well, wait a second, you don't have any locks in your house that are a combination lock that, you know, she can lock and you can still get in? He said, no, of course we do. She likes to lock every lock, and now she can't lock every lock, she can only lock, and that scares her. And I said, and also just on the bad men and wild beast thing, you live in Woodmere, right? And he said, yeah, she's crazy. He said, what do you do though? She tells me she can't sleep if I'm in the sukkah. So, but she told me, and I get the sense that she was probably in the room when he made this phone call. He said, she told me that I have to call Rebbe and I have to say that my mother will not sleep when I'm as long as I'm sleeping in the sukkah. Do I have to should I still sleep in the sukkah, or do I have some sort of patur based on my mother's insomnia while I am sleeping like a baby without a concern in the world in the sukkah? Okay, so these are our two shaylos: the Chasan Torah, who is the Ben Eretz Yisrael in Chutz Laretz, and the fellow who's sleeping in the sukkah. All those in favor of shayla number one, about the Ben Eretz Yisrael in Chutz Laretz, please raise your hand. All those in favor of shayla number two. Okay, it looks like shayla number two wins by the slimmest of margins. Okay. Okay. Whatever I don't do, I'll just do as a Tamin Allah Hashir next week anyway. So, that's the trick, you know. Let's take shayla number one. The reason shayla number two, rather, is the reason that shayla number two is interesting. It's, you know, people sometimes will send me like these crazy stories. They'll be like, isn't this an amazing shayla because it's like a crazy story? But if the crazy story doesn't bring you into a gishmak sugya, you know, then it's not really such a great shayla. What makes a great shayla is when the shayla is dynamic. Right, when there are multiple sugyas that you have to go through in order to be able to get a sense of how to paskin the shayla. So this is one such shayla. This is a really dynamic shayla. Why is it a dynamic shayla? There are three separate sugyas that you have to learn. What three separate sugyas do you have to learn in order to answer the shayla? Yeah. Keep it avim, good. Sleeping in the sukkah and mitzvah, right? So three separate sugyas that have to be at least dabbled in before you can answer the shayla. And then you also have a fourth element, which is what we call the fifth shulchan aruch, right? That there is a certain sensitivity that has to be thought through when dealing with close family members with whom you want to maintain a very good and positive relationship with, and you don't want them to think you are crazy and that you're doing extreme things, and that, you know, and what's the best way to handle those situations in general? So that also has to be thought through a little bit. The fifth shulchan aruch. So let's start with p'tur mitzvah. Good. The Gemara in Maseches Sukkah Daf Chaf Avam Ralef. Rava Sharile the Rabbi Acha Barad the Migna Barmi Metalalta Mishum Sirch de Gargishta. Rava allowed Rav Acha Barad to sleep outside of the sukkah because there was a foul odor in the sukkah. And this is Rava L'tamei, says the Gemara, Rava L'shita, so Dama Rava, Mitzar, Pater Min HaSukkah. So frak the Gemara, wait a second. V'anan t'nan cholin misham shem p'tur min HaSukkah. Chola in Mitzar lo. It says cholin misham shem p'tur min HaSukkah. Sick people are Pater. Not just Stam, anyone who's Mitzar, says Gemara. No, there's a difference. Chola hu misham shem p'tur min HaSukkah. When it comes to a chola, not only is the chola sukkah, anyone who's helping me out is part of the sukkah as well. When it comes to mitzta'er, it's more limited. It's only the guy who's mitzta'er himself. It's not any of the mishamshe ha-mitzta'er. Why the difference between a chola and a regular mitzta'er? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Tav Resh Mem, Sifkat Zayin, in the name of the Levush, that the mishamshe chola are pater because of osik mitzvah. Meshamshe mitzta'er, there's no mitzvah of being meshamesh mitzta'er. So that's why the meshamshe chola are pater, but the meshamshe mitzta'er are not going to be pater. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Tafresh Mem, Ve'atam de meshamshe paturim yesh omrim tam dosim mitzvah pater min mitzvah. But he says, I don't like that answer. I don't like that explanation. V'lo nihirali, da'ha te'inach ba'usa b'china, misha mitzvah. You know, let's say you have a person who is a professional nurse. So the person works as a nurse and gets paid to work as a nurse. So you can tell me every time they go to work they're an osik mitzvah. Osik mitzvah is if you're doing something out of the goodness of your heart. Avam osa. I have some sort of typo over here. But whatever. Bishar. Yeah. Avam osa bishar. But if you're doing so for payment, chayiv. that you're not the lomatzino chiluk zeh b'gemara b'poskim. No one says that a mishamish chola, someone's being mishamish chola who's getting paid for it, is chayiv in sukkah. No one says that. He's also pater. Osik mitzvah doesn't work for someone who's being mishamish chola and getting paid for it. So what is the explanation? So the Aruch Liner comes up with a different explanation. Aruch Liner, sukkah davchav avim ralf. Hatam de pateru mishum teishvu ke intaduru o mishum haezrach kmoshkasav haritva vareze lo shayich rak etzlo v'lo etzel mishamsho v'lo me yipater hu mea mitzvah v'tzorech lomar kivin da achol etzorech lo imkein kemoshe yetzi midirasa l'shamish achol kemoken yachol atzis misukasa. The Aruch Liner says fundamental distinction. The rule is teishvu ke intaduru. Someone who's being mishamish shechola, whether it's bischar or whether it's for free, would leave his home to do so. Avon mitzdar, av yeshul mishamish, mikamokim kivin shein sorach lo kol kach, mistama mishamish lo yetzi mibesel l'shamsho. A mitzdar may have someone that's helping him out, but it's unlikely that the mitzdar needs that person so badly that that person would leave his own home to help out the mitzdar. To help out a chola, there are guys that work, that volunteer for Hatzalah, that wake up at 2 in the morning and will run out in a half a second and leave their homes and do whatever it takes. But if let's say you call your friend at 2 o'clock in the morning and you say, I'm chilly, you know, like he's not waking up at 2 in the morning to run to your house to, help you zip up your sweatshirt or something, you know, to warm you up. A mitzdar, no one's waking up, no one's leaving their home to help out a mitzdar. So therefore, it's just basically teishu ke intaduru. That's the difference between mitzdar and a chola. Why is a mitzdar taka pater? So Tosis writes, based on teishu ke intaduru, there's a fascinating comment on the Tshuva's Binyan Shlomo, just to point out, in Siman Mem Zayin, he writes, that nothing to do with teishu ke intaduru. He says, what you have over here is two conflicting mitzvahs asay. You have a mitzvah asay to sit in the sukkah, and you have a mitzvah asay of simchas yantar. So what do you do when you have one mitzvah to say versus another mitzvah to say? Meaning, if by staying in the sukkah you're going to be mitzdayer, it's going to hurt your simchas yantiv. What do you do when you have such a conflict, when you have such a contradiction? So says the Binyan Shlomo. Normally we know when it's nasei and alos asei, asei docha alos asei. But in asei docha asei. So what do? He says you have to figure out which asei is the stronger asei. So which one? Is it simchas yantiv or is it sukkah? So he says, I'll prove to you it's got to be simchas yantiv. Why? Sukkah, the mitzvah of sukkah is nogea. How many of the three regalim? One. The mitzvah of simchas yantiv is nogea to how many of the three regalim? Three. So you see, the mitzvah of simchas yantiv is a more encompassing mitzvah. And he says, the mitzvah of sukkah, which Jews are chayiv in sukkah? Male Jews are chayiv in sukkah. Simchas yantiv, females as well, or at least bala misamcha. She's at least nogea to Simchas Yantiv. And therefore, says the Binyan Shlomo, that's why mitzvah is part from sukkah, which is pretty wild. It would turn out that if you hold that there's no mitzvah simcha b'layla rishon on a daraisa level, then a mitzvah is chayiv on layla rishon in sukkah. Right? Not just the first kazayit. It would turn out that a mitzvah should just be chayiv the whole layla rishon in sukkah to even sleep in the sukkah, which is against the halacha. You know, that's too great of a chiddush. But that's the interesting take of the Binyan Shlomo. But what we really need to get to over here is what is the geder of mitzvah? Meaning over here it's so unique because the guy is perfectly comfortable. He's happy, he's sleeping in the sukkah, everything's wonderful, he's enjoying the fresh air. So where's the tzar? You know, mitzvah is a very unique kind of patur. We don't find it by any other mitzvah. We don't find anywhere else that if a person complains before Pesach or on Pesach, matzah, I can't stand matzah, you know how much prune juice I have to buy in order to counteract the effects of the matzah. Too bad. Buy more prune juice. I don't know. You got to have matzah. There's nothing you can do. Maybe find a more makel shir of a gezayis or something. I don't know. But you got to do it. You know, Kohen Gadol complains, or any Kohen doing the effort, the floor is so cold in here. I really don't like it. Too bad. I mean, go to the Beis HaMokah, try to warm up a little bit, but like, you know, you don't have too many choices over here. Mitzvah is not pater from anything. Mitzvah is only pater from sukkah. Likely based on what Tosfos says, because the Teshuvah came to do. It's part of the geder of the mitzvah, but we need to figure out the geder of Messiah. You know, that's the story they tell of Reb Chaim Meiser, I think, that someone once came to visit Reb Chaim Meiser in sukkah, and Reb Chaim Meiser was really very old and ill, and the fellow, after a long journey, gets to Reb Chaim Meiser. Reb Chaim Meiser says, maybe we can be mechab you something to eat. You can go down to the sukkah. So he says, is the Rav going to join you? Chaima says, no, the Tzar is part from sukkah, so I'm not going to join you. But you can go, be mechazik yourself, get something to eat, and then you'll come back. So the fellow goes down to the sukkah. Next thing he knows, Chaima is in the sukkah. And he says, Rav Chaim Reza, I thought you're a mitzvah, mitzvah is part from sukkah. He says, yeah, mitzvah is part from sukkah, but mitzvah is not part from machnas zorchim. I still have to be machnas oreach. So me, and that illustrates the point that mitzvah is not part from anything else. It's only by sukkah that you have such a unique patur of mitzvah. So what exactly is the geder of mitzvah? So one instructive gemara is a gemara in sukkah daf chaf heim beis that an ovel is chayiv in sukkah. He is not a mitzvah. How's he not a mitzvah? What do you mean? He's experiencing avelus. I would think that there are a few experiences in life that are more tsar-inducing than avelus. Says Gemara, Ibayle liyusuvidayt. He should calm himself down. And Rashi explains that means, Shasuka mitzaarto kegon chama otzina osircha v'dvarm shesich. That when is mitzar pater? When the sukkah is the cause of your tsar. But if the sukkah is not the cause of your tzar, it's just some other experience that's not fundamental to the sukkah, then it's then you would not be potter. So that helps be magdir a little bit. That the tzar has to be caused by the sukkah, and Rambam adds if it's ruach or zvuvim or paroshim, you know, other types of things that are conditions, physical conditions in the sukkah that cause tzar, that would be part of the geder of mitzvah. In the Tshuvas Emek Halacha, or Chaim Sim Lamed, he says that every example in the Gemara of people being exempt based on bugs and smell or something like that was personal to them. The Ramah in Tafresh Mem Paskins, V'lo yuchal adam lomar mitztarani ela b'davar shederech b'nei adam litztair bo. A person can't claim tsar on something that is not tsar-inducing in general, that people in general would not be mitztair from. So it has to be something that's a physical condition in the sukkah, that's the sukkah causing the problem, and that is somewhat of a universal nuisance, right? If people are annoyed by bugs, that's pretty universal, that people are annoyed by bugs. So that would be, if people are annoyed by the cold, that's pretty universal. If people are annoyed by the rain, that's pretty universal. What if you have... One night of Sukkot this year, we had the first two nights of Sukkot. We were asked by my wife and I were asked by the sisterhood of the shul to run an oneg one night for the girls and one night for the boys, the high school girls and high school boys. So the high school girls, it was very quick. A few of them came. My wife entertained them, you know, and came. They went and fine. The high school boys, I have sons who are in high school, so all their friends came. I left after like an hour, you know, and they had to go learn or whatever, and they were still to go learn, yeah. That's what I thought. But they were still hanging out in the sukkah, and then like I want to go to sleep, and I look out in the sukkah, and my sukkah's full of teenagers, and like it's lonely to go to sleep when your sukkah's full of teenagers. So it's actually, I found later, Shailin Poskim, is that a patur from sukkah when your sukkah's full of teenagers that you don't want to throw out, right? So if you have a guest, they can answer. So in Halicha Shlomo, Paraktes Os Yutes, he says, of course it's a Petor, it's a Mitztair. He says, what difference is there between mosquitoes and teenagers? He says, whichever one is causing a nuisance in the sukkah, that would be a Petor Mitztair. However, in the Kovitz Zman Simchaseinu, they quote from Rav Eliashiv, and this is quoted in Sefer Sukkah Schayim, page Tav Lamed Hei, that that's not called Mitztair Machmas Sukkah, because the sukkah is absolutely Ru'uya Liyeshiva. It's considered like a person who just doesn't have a sukkah. So what do you do when you just don't have a sukkah? If you can't throw out the guests, Bikri Yaakov writes, you have to go to your friend's sukkah. You have to go to someone else's sukkah. A lot of people don't realize this. We had terrible windstorms on Chol HaMoed. So in my neighborhood, half the sukkahs blew down and were destroyed, and the other half survived, right? Somehow made it. So what's the halacha now? So the storm is over. The wind is no longer blowing. I don't have a sukkah. So am I potter now? Right? So the halacha is, no, you're not potter. Go to your neighbor. Go to your friend. And maybe not to sleep. Maybe that would be uncomfortable. But, you know, call him up. I'll just sneak right around to your backyard when you're not using it, you know, just to eat dinner. They're not going to say no, right? They'll be happy to help out. So because you're not so happy to have to do it, that's the mitzvah. You can't say it's mitzta'er that I have to schlep to a neighbor to eat in the sukkah. That's not mitzta'er. It's not a condition in the sukkah. It's just a person who doesn't have a sukkah. A person who doesn't have a sukkah has to go to a neighbor. That's what you have to do. I didn't publicize the Pesach. I would have gotten killed. But if asked, that's what I would tell people. Or eat things that you're not chayiv in sukkah for, which may or may not be a good hetzer. If it's a meal type of food, Rav Shachter would hold anyway that you have to eat it in the sukkah, like sushi or steak or something like that. But many businessmen rely on that. Like they'll eat, if they're in their office, they'll eat a roll of sushi or something instead of going looking for a sukkah. Okay, now there's a sefer Likutei Chavar Ben Chaim that's published in the end of the Shulchan Aruch, and he writes as follows: he says, "Yesh l'statik im al yedei shchivaso b'sukkah ein beisu mishumar." What if by you sleeping, so it's not a condition in the sukkah, but it's going to leave your house vulnerable? Why? Mom can't lock the door because you're out in the sukkah. Is that called mitztayer? Olif toach al mashkos v'kosuf shomer mitzvah liyadavara. Or maybe you should say, I'm being sure mitzvah, nothing's going to happen. In Amar Torah says, L'yachmu l'shesartzcha, right, that you're going to go be yol l'regel, and don't worry, no one's going to take your land. Everything's going to be fine. Maybe I should, Odilma, hechid shchicha ezek ha'shayni. Or maybe you should say, no, if I live in a bad neighborhood, I'm leaving the doors unlocked at night, I can't, it's like every once in a while you'll get a shayla in Pesach. It's lel shimurim, so a person left their door unlocked on the night of the Seder. And someone broke in and stole everything, including the thing that he borrowed from his neighbor 2 weeks ago. So you're a shomer. How could you leave the door unlocked? It's lel shimurim. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a shomer. Don't be an idiot. So that's the question over here. Do you say that the Torah Hakadosh tells me that I should have bitachon that everything is going to be fine? Lo yedat tovara, nothing's going to happen. Or do you say hechad shchiyah chazek hashayni? So it may. It depends on the machlokas how to understand the patur of Misham Sheyachola. According to the Levush, it's based on Osik the Mitzvah, and therefore has no bearing on this case. But according to the Shos Yaakov, it's based on Mitztayer, because not being able to take care of a chola will cause his loved one's tsar. And that would mean that concern over something that's not relevant to the sukkah is still pater. Right? I mean, we didn't even get into that. When we spoke about Misham Sheyachola, we didn't even discuss that possibility. That maybe the reason Meshamesh Chola are Pater is because they're also Mitzar in not being able to be Meshamesh the Chola, because they love this person, they want to take care of this person, the person is ill. So if you hold that that's the idea, and that's what the Shvos Yaakov writes in Chel Gimel Sim Mem Zayin, then you hold that that would qualify as Mitzar, even though it's not a condition of the Sukkah. It's just a concern over the well-being of something else that paters you. He said that they asked Rav Eliashiv in Sefer Piskei Shmuz. They asked Rav Eliashiv about a case where a woman was afraid to sleep alone in her house, and the husband was mitzta'er that his wife was upset. So he was fine in the sukkah, but he's a mitzta'er that his wife was upset. So Rav Eliashiv said there's no patur. However, it seems against the Gemara, right? The Gemara says that Shomri Ginos Upardesin are patur ben beyom ben belayla, and they can't be expected to build the sukkah by the Ginos Pardesim because Pirtza Kora Laganav, meaning the concern that people will steal from the Ginos makes him Pater Mishum Mitztayer. So that seems to be somewhat against Rav Eliashiv's Pesach. Okay, but that's really part of the issue over here, but it's still not exactly our issue. I mean, it's part of the issue in the sense that it's talking about a tzar that's not caused by the sukkah. So that's similar to our issue, but it's still different. Because in all of these cases that we've been discussing, it's different than the shayla we started with, because all these cases, the person in the sukkah is the one who is mitzta'ir. He's mitzta'ir because his house isn't protected, he's mitzta'ir, because his wife is upset, he's mitzta'ir. This 21-year-old guy couldn't care less that his mother's not sleeping at night. It's not causing him any... Okay, maybe we need to do a cheshbon nefesh, and we need to figure that out. But for whatever reason, that's not what's causing him tsar. His mother yapping in his ear the next day that she didn't sleep the whole night because of him. That's causing him a little bit of tsar. But in the sukkah, he's sleeping like a baby. So there's nothing that's causing him tsar in the sukkah. She's the one that's mitzvah. So that brings us to the Chuvah Sesorah's Chuvah. Says what has a case which is kimat identical to our case, except it's not a mother, it's a father. That the father thinks it's dangerous to be in the sukkah. Probably it also wasn't in Woodmere, and probably, but nevertheless, the father has a concern that it's dangerous for the kid to be in the sukkah, and he says he's going to have no yishuv adas the whole night if his kid is in the sukkah. So Rosh Tshuva says, patur. Why? Teishvu kein tadur. He says, yeah, let's say your father came to you and said, you know, your bedroom is freezing cold, and I'm not comfortable with you sleeping there, I think you can get sick, I want you to go to your brother's room. I want you to go sleep in a different room than that, sleep in the guest room, sleep in the living room, whatever. What would you do? You'd listen. I'm not going to drive my father crazy. He says, I think I'll be fine. So I'll try to convince him. I'll tell him, I'm fine. No, you're going to catch a cold. No, if he doesn't relent, you'll move. So he says this on Rosh Tshuva over here also. So I asked Shechter what he thought about that, his Rosh Tshuva. And he said, I asked him what he thought about the Shaila. It sounds like you should really be in the Sukkah. So I said, but there's a Hisar Rosh Tshuva that says otherwise. So he said, who's the Hisar Rosh Tshuva? So I said, I don't know. So I then went and I Googled who is the Hisar Rosh Tshuva. The Hisar Rosh Tshuva is a grandson of the Chassam Sofer. It was a Chashva Talmud Chacham. He lived to a ripe old age. He was killed by the Nazis at the age of like 95 or something. And he wrote the Sefer, his Oros Tshuva, and he had printed on the top of every page, La Halach of Lo Lamaisa. Aim Lismoch al Sefer Zel Halach of Lo Lamaisa. Because he was terrified, he didn't want anything. It's just to be misorer the discussion. So the author himself tells you, so sometimes they write Derech Hanivus, but if you're going to write it on every page, then that's got to be more than Derech Hanivus. He must have been serious about that, that he was just trying to engender discussion. So that you have to assess is what when someone says I'm not saying this lamaisa, so you have to be a little less inclined to say okay I'll be a somech on that das yachid. If he's not being a somech, you can use his svaras and say well let's see is the svara good, put it through the test, and if it's good then good, and if it's not good then it's nothing. But you can't say all right there's something to be somech. It's harder to say that when the person himself wasn't willing to be summoned. So there's a beautiful sefer someone got me last year called Madane Asher, where he says, I don't understand the whole case of this. So he says, Manavshach, if the father's right that it's dangerous, of course you're part of the sukkah. And if the father's wrong, what do you care that the father's mitzta'er? Tell the father to get over it, just like the Avelus. You know, you gotta get over that such a tzar. But what's that got to do with the guy that's in the sukkah that's not having any tzar? So the Tzara's Tshuva would respond, well, you know, the Tzar of Novel doesn't get any better when you go inside. This does get better when the guy goes inside. So, there is a difference. The Tshuva, Rav Shurmach and Tshuva Svan Hagos, Zalzim Kuf Samachay, says a Svara to Pater, a man whose wife is worried about him. He says, it's like Kimisham Shechola de Pater. He says, "Lomi bayi, if it's midintesh v'kein tiduru, and in your house you would leave when there's a chola that needs you. So for sure, if your wife was sad and your wife said, I can't live like this, and you would go wherever she goes to calm her down. Hopefully, if your marriage is working properly. But he says, v'gami neim kamod yisabal avush, that the patur of misham shechol is midinosik mitzvah. He says to calm a nervous wife is also a sig mitzvah." And l'chora, it would turn out according to Rav Shurmach, to calm a nervous mother, is also osik b'mitzvah, right? Which brings us to kibud avim. Is it osik b'mitzvah? Meaning there are certain exemptions from. Oh boy, we have 2 minutes left. There are certain exemptions from the mitzvah of kibud avim. I once gave a shiur. Talmidim in 11th grade asked me, "Can you give a shiur about when we don't have to do kibud avim?" So I didn't think that was coming from the purest of places. So I said, I entitled the shiur, "Kibud avim always applies, except." You know, but we should realize that the baseline is that it always applies. But one of the major exceptions is, it's a gemara b'mitzvah. If a parent tells you to do an avera or not to do a mitzvah, you don't listen to them. Kulcham chayav mikvodi. Isn't this just exactly that? That the mother's telling you not to do a mitzvah. So it seems like that. It seems like that. It's not so clear that it's even a fulfillment of kibud avim or that there's a chiyuv of kibud avim when all you're doing is making them happy, but not actually providing them with any service. Meaning the Gemara says mechabdo b'chayev mechabdo lachemoso mechabdo b'chayev keitzad, so you give him to eat, to drink, and you help him get dressed. meaning they're all acts of service that you're doing to them. But if, let's say, your mom says, I think when you wear a green tie, it brings out the green in your eyes so beautifully, it would make me happy if you wore green ties every day. Why is it okay to you that I wear a green tie? Meaning, that's not... So there is a svara to say that that there is no din of no chiyuv of kibra bein in such a case. The gra explains Rama that way. The Rama says in Ma'av Mocha Beben Lisa is Yishtich Basba Haben Yitzarach Lishmal La'av. The father says, I want you to marry this woman, not that woman. You don't have to listen. Why? Not okay him who you're going to marry. So it's a little iffy over here. Over here, but the mother's concerned. Why is she concerned? Not because she's trying to tell you to not do a mitzvah. She'd be very happy if you lived in Eretz Yisrael and you had a porch, a marpeset that was right off of the apartment, and there was nothing dangerous about it, and it wasn't cold. And she'd be very happy with you sleeping in the sukkah. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah. She's not against mitzvahs. She's nervous. You're going to tell her she's crazy? No, she's not. She's a Jewish mother. That's what she's supposed to. So you're going to tell her, you're going to explain to her, here's why you shouldn't be nervous. And she's going to say, I'm still a Jewish mother. And there's nothing that you're going to say that's going to change that and that's going to make me not nervous. And therefore, it is an act of service to come inside because you're calming her down. So you are providing her with a sense of Yishuv Hadas. So in that sense, you probably have Rav Sternbach to rely on. And then you add to that that sleeping in the sukkah, and I realize I'm already a minute over time, that sleeping in the sukkah itself, the Rama writes that the minhag already in Krakow, and this is based on Rishonim, was not to sleep in the sukkah. Now he has to go like this to try to figure out why not, because it's been finished in the Gemara, that you're not even allowed to take a nap outside of the sukkah. But that was clearly the minhag. And this, you know, woman's neighborhood, I already said where it is, in Woodmere. Let's say, what percentage of Orthodox Jews in Woodmere eat in the sukkah? 100, pretty much. What percentage of Orthodox Jews in Woodmere sleep in the sukkah? Less than 100? Mistama, right? Meaning, she thinks this sounds crazy. What you're doing is not normal. It's not based on it doesn't seem like something that you really have to do. It seems like something that they brainwashed you in yeshiva to do, and then you came home and you think that this is Eretz Yisrael and whatever, and that you're going to go. But it's not. It's she's not against mitzvos. So it would seem that there's what to work with over there also, just based on the fact that the Rama writes that the minhag was not sleep in the sukkah, especially in our climates and with our level of istiness that we generally have. Turned out not to be nogea. The weather was horrendous the next few nights, so it wasn't so shy for him anyway. Okay, so I told him to go inside. So, keep his mother happy. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Sorry for going over time.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.